It's time once again to tune in to Rightly Dividing Word of Truth, and we're starting a new series this week on dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And this is the first lesson in the study of Matthew book, and Matthew is a very important book, would you agree, in your Bible? It begins with the so-called New Testament, which we say it's from Matthew's to where? Revelation. And we divide our Bible into two sections, don't we? Most of us do. We call the Hebrew Bible as what? The Old Testament, and the Greek Bible as the New Testament. That's how many of us divide things up. But this is not good terminology if you understand the Word of God right and divide it and know what terms are. You can understand. We need to understand that the Old Testament actually did not begin until Genesis chapter 20. Okay? And it was not ratified until Genesis chapter 24. And the New Testament does not actually begin in Matthew 1:1 as you turn in your Bible and you read Matthew, you know, the New Testament. But we use the terms by accommodation. You know, we don't back up and beat somebody half to death because you say the Old Testament, New Testament, that type of thing. It's by accommodation. That's what we know some things. But do you know that so we don't have to get all bent out of shape and worked up over when people say these things, correct? You know, you just say, I understand where you're at and all. The book of Matthew stands at the beginning of the what we call, or what is called the four Gospels, isn't it? Okay? You understand that that term, four Gospels, technically is also incorrect. You know, one thing about studying the Word of God, rightly divided, and using right division, it's an educational process. You know, when many of us have got, you know, well, you say, doctorate degrees and master's degrees and bachelor's degrees and, you know, truck driver degrees and, you know, floor sweeper degrees. Many of us have got degrees. But when you look at some things and understand the terms, technically, you got to understand where people are at. There are not gospels. Do we understand that? What does gospel mean?
Good news.
But rather, there are four records of the earthly ministry of who? Jesus Christ. And many of us got to understand that are listening out there. The word gospel means good news. The gospel is a particular message of good news. The four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are not technically four different gospel records. Okay? Rather, they are four records of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Many people want to harmonize the gospels. You heard that, haven't you? Like it's all flowing together. But that's not necessarily true. But again, we rather use them as the four gospels, and that's okay if we use that term when we refer to the four gospels. We should use the earthly accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the Gospels according to Matthew, or the Gospel according of Matthew, we should not get upset. So I just want to lay that out right now. So don't throw a book at me and say, hey, it's not the Gospels and that type of thing. But the Gospels according to the Saint Matthew. So we use these terms by accommodations. We can agree with that. We need to understand Matthew because it's a critical, important book. It is a transitional book. As we study how we've been studying the Word of God, rightly divided, we understand that there's three main transitional books in the Bible: Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews. If you understand those books, you can understand what God is doing, and it's a transitional book. When you study the book of Daniel, which many of us have, we can see a prophetic program and a broad scope in Daniel, can't you? You can see a prophetic program, what Daniel's laid out for ages to come, and was coming down the path. In Matthew, we can come to a place where the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand, okay? And that's a phase of the kingdom prophesied and promised is up unto Israel. It's very, very important to understand that. Before we get into that, there are questions that we should answer. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four records. With me? They're four records. Four accounts of the Lord's earthly ministry. The question often arises, why are there four accounts? why not one? Okay? Why are they four and not six? You with me on this? Okay? Why are they four and not two? Why? I'm asking you, you know, like, think about it. Different aspect. There's some person needs to understand when we approach the book of Matthew, because it touches on the very character and essence of the book itself. There are four Gospels, and the four accounts are not given to compromise harmony or composite harmony. In fact, it is interesting, through the years, people have tried to study the life of Christ and try to identify His place in each one of those and try to harmonize it. You know, like it's a storybook, if you will. If God had intended that, it'd been no problem, wouldn't it? But He did not do that. He gave it to us in four accounts. And it's like a building, if you think. There are four walls, aren't they? Okay? There is one building, but there's four walls. You have the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have four different composites, which makes up a whole. In fact, there are four different exposures, views, and aspects of the person and ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us know that, don't we? If you want to write this down, because you're going to be tested on this, the book of Matthew presents Christ as who? King. The book of Mark presents Him as a servant. The book of Luke presents Him as a man. And the book of John presents Him as God in human flesh. Jehovah God in human flesh. All four of these are aspects of Christ and of the Messiah that are presented in the Old Testament. See. You can recall around the throne of God. Let me ask you this. How many creatures, living creatures, are around the throne of God?
Four.
Okay. And they're cherubims, aren't they? Okay. There are four cherubims with how many faces?
Four
faces. Each one of those four faces corresponds to a picture given in the gospel accounts of Christ. In Ezekiel chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, it says there is a lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. The lion represents the king of beasts, doesn't it? You ever see a lion up front? They're huge, aren't they? And they're like, whoa, kitty cat. Right? No, they're a lion. And it corresponds with the Gospel of Matthew. Then you have the ox. Ox is a
servant.
I see pictures of years past where people use oxes to plow. You know, you go down in the countryside where we're at here in the Stark County area, and they're still using not oxes, but they use those Belgian horses. They're a workhorse. They're a servant, corresponding to the Gospel of Mark. Then the man, of course, corresponds to the Gospel of Luke. Then the eagle, Ezekiel 1, is soaring in the heavens, would be God Himself, and corresponding with the Gospel of God. Many of us know those things. John, thank you. Let me ask you this, and I don't want, you know, if there's four, who was Satan? Who? He was number five, wasn't he? Wasn't he a cherubim? So he had a face too. Okay? And if there's four around the throne of God, there's one missing that represents something on this earth. Not only Satan, but he's representing
reptiles,
amphibious group. You know, to me, that's very, very not exciting, but something to think about, because where did the swine want to run to? What comes out of the pit, the beast comes out of the... There's something about that group of things, creatures, that it's fascinating as you go through there, that when it's all said and done, when God creates a new heaven and new earth, there's no more sea. So, I think about some things like that. But You can call me peculiar. But the four things corresponds with God told the nation Israel to look for their Messiah. So back here in this Old Testament, if you will, Hebrews, Genesis through Malachi, parts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus Christ came, they should have looked at those things. There are four times in the Old Testament God tells the nation Israel through the prophets to behold her Messiah. Okay? And each time he does it, and he does it a little differently. Okay, king. What is Matthew? The book of Matthew represents God, Jesus Christ of what? Go to Zechariah chapter 9. Let's look at some scriptures this morning. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9. Verse 9. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thou king cometh unto thee. See that? Behold, behold thou what? King. Go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. And hold your hand in Zechariah because you're coming right back there. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 1. If Mark portrays Jesus Christ as a what? Servant. Isaiah 42, 1 says, behold my servant. Okay? That's Jesus Christ. Got that? Go back to Zechariah chapter 6. Luke portrays Jesus Christ as who? A man. We just talked about that. Man. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. Okay? The man. The book of John represents Jesus Christ as who? God. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9 says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up unto the mountains. O Jerusalem, thou bringest good tidings, lift up the voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. See? And as they looked at those books and studied those books, when the Lord Jesus Christ came and presented himself in those gospel accounts, there I go, gospel, see? Gospel accounts, the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, they should have known who he was, correct? Okay? When Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the writers, in essence, are saying, behold your Messiah, behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of the gospel accounts corresponds with one of the four times in the Old Testament when Israel is told to behold their Messiah. Look at the first one that corresponds with the king in Matthew. We looked at Zechariah 9:9. Okay, we already looked at that, but I'll read it to you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt of a foal of an ass. And Matthew, with the entering into Jerusalem on what we call so-called Palm Sunday, that is the passage that are quoting as they cry Hosanna to him. See? Behold, our king cometh. That's what they're crying. And they're seeing that. When you read the book of Matthew, it is as though you are reading Israel, behold, your king comes. Here he is. Matthew presents Christ especially as their king. That's why it's very, very important to know that book is a transitional book, and you can understand the book of Matthew. You can understand where it belongs in the Word of God, dispensationally considered, if you will, and it's not for today. I'll just let you know that right up front. That might disturb a lot of people. When you come over to Isaiah 42, and we already looked at the book of Mark, and you know, we didn't look at these verses, but just share with them that when we said, behold, their servants. God is saying, behold, God says, behold my servant. That corresponds perfectly with the book of Mark. Okay? And the Old Testament tells Israel to behold their Messiah first as their king, then their servant. With me? Here's your king, here's your servant. Then you look at behold the man whose name is the branch. The Messiah, God says, behold the man. You read that, didn't you? Behold the man. So the Old Testament, once again, tells Israel, behold your king, behold your servant, and behold the man. Now there's one other, aren't they? Okay? And that's in Isaiah 40 that we read. He's talking again about the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist identified in these verses 3 and 4, the voice one crying in the wilderness. Okay, Matthew chapter 3 says that of is John. Isaiah 40 says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, we read that. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice and strength, lift it up, be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. You see the Old Testament, behold the king, behold him Israel, my servant, behold him Israel, as a man, behold Israel, as your God, behold him Israel. There's no ifs, ands, or buts what the nation Israel should have done. It's interesting, though, that the Messiah, and when you get into the New Testament, it just so happens that you have four accounts that perfectly identify him with that. Now, the same connection as they were in four titles, okay, given to the Messiah in the Old Testament that matched the four Gospels. Four examples we done looked at. The branch, okay? The branch, did you notice over in Zechariah, behold the man whose name is the branch. Did you remember seeing that? There are four times the Old Testament prophets, once again, identifies the Messiah as the branch. Okay? Come with me to, let's go to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Once again, we're just laying some footwork out for the book of Matthew, and many of you know this already, but for the ones that don't, just bear with us. Jeremiah 23, each of the branch titles refers to the Messiah. And once again, corresponds with the four gospel accounts. Jeremiah 23:5 says, behold, Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will rise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and the justice in the earth. He is going to rise up unto David a righteous what? Branch and a what? King. That corresponds with the king, which corresponds with behold our king. You with me? Okay, there's no way you can is, ands, and buts when people say, well, you know, yeah, they believe the word of God, and they believe God, but Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And Jesus Christ is not the king. Jesus Christ, you know, there's people out there you know that you go up against all the time that don't believe that. Oh, they believe Jesus Christ was a prophet, but not the Son of God. But it goes on and said, which will correspond with the Gospel of Matthew. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, the second branch title. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, though, and thou fellest that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Okay? My servant, the branch, corresponds with, behold, my servant, okay? Which corresponds with the gospel, which is penned by who?
Mark.
Come with back to Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. We just read a couple minutes ago. I love to hear the pages turning back there. We always say that, hey, let the fingers do the walking, but God does the talking. You know, remember the old. Many of you may not be young as I am, but there was yellow pages would let your fingers do the walking, but God's word does the talking. Zechariah chapter 6 verse 12 says, "And speaking to him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch." The man whose name is the branch corresponds with the with behold the man, which corresponds with the gospel according to who? Luke. Thank you. Luke. Do you see the things begin to multiply themselves? Working with the Word of God. One more, Isaiah chapter 4, in the behold statements. When we study the Word of God, we consider ourselves as, do we consider ourselves here as Bible scholars or Bible students? We believe the Word of God, don't we? You know, we have to. You know, we believe it because it's authority. And many of us needs, well, I need that authority in our life. And I know I have the Word of God. I may not understand it all, but everything He wants us to know is right in here. Isaiah 4, verse 2. In the day shall the branch of the Lord... See, is that uppercase or lowercase? Is it lower? Let's see here. Let me double check here. Yours is what? Yeah, but the Lord is what? That's what I'm getting at. Don't thumb it. Oh, did I say branch? Branch of the Lord, is it uppercase or lowercase? Thank you. That's who. Means who? Yahweh, right? Jehovah. It's God. Okay? It's not the little L. But it's Lord. Be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent, and come for them that escape of Israel. The passage is a reference to the tribulation and the kingdom. Okay, the branch of the Lord, the branch of Jehovah corresponds with who? Behold your God, that corresponds with the gospel according to John. Okay, you see all these things working together? God can do this. I would have never been able to pick this out. Maybe after 25, 30 years of studying that, you might be able to reference. But I just thank God for that. Because the Old Testament, are they four times God tells Israel once again, behold your Messiah. There's no ifs, ands, or buts that they should not have known. But we know that people can be blinded, don't we? We know people just totally ignore what the Word of God says, and they go on creating their own righteousness and believe whatever they want to. Their four branch titles applies to Messiah. The four times they are told to behold their Messiah, behold the four branches fits together, like a picture, if you will. Now, how does that all of this affect the record when you get into the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? How does it affect? If you turn to the book of Matthew, you will notice. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 1. This is the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And on and on and on it goes, correct? Though that chapter, and you see the genealogy laid forth, it begins with who? Abraham, and it goes all the way to Lord Jesus Christ in verse 16. Okay? Luke's genealogy, the book of Luke, genealogy in chapter 3, Luke also has a genealogy in chapter 3. The book of Mark does not have a genealogy, nor does the book of John have a genealogy. Okay? But not Jesus Christ. Okay? But check this out. In Luke chapter 3, verse 23, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. You see the genealogy of Christ there. The genealogy in Mark is a lineage of who? Joseph or Mary. Okay? Mary. Mark portrays Jesus as what? You know the only place you'll find a nativity scene in your Bible is in Luke? You don't find it in Matthew? Okay? Matthew 1 is a genealogy of Joseph. Luke's genealogy begins with Mary and Joseph, and counts backwards always to Adam. Matthew don't do that.
Matthew okay? also says very significant in verse 16 about Joseph.
The husband of, yeah, of Mary.
He doesn't
yeah.
find Jesus Christ in right. Joseph's genealogy.
Right. He didn't begot him. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mark does not have a genealogy, and John has no genealogy per se. John begins, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, he begins at the beginning, way back over here. Not so much the beginning of this. He begins way back there. There's something interesting about that. Matthew is going to be present Jesus Christ as what? The King, isn't he? Okay, you have to get to know who the king was. So that's why he goes to David to get the promise of the throne. Yeah, the kingdom, the throne. But he also goes back to the son of Abraham. Why would he do that? What does Abraham get?
He gets the covenant.
Covenants of what?
Covenant of promise.
Of what?
The earth.
The land, yeah, the land. See, so you got the promise of a king to David, okay, and then you got a promise of the what, the nation or the land. When Luke picks up it up, is going to talk about him as the man. So Luke gives his genealogy back past David, the king, past Abraham, the promise, and he goes all the way back to the first man, Adam. Okay. Christ is what we call the first Adam, then there's what? The second Adam. Who's that? Jesus Christ. So even in the genealogy, there is a correspondence in the purpose of that book. Taking you back to a man in Luke, all the way back to where the problem was. Matthew, as king, takes you back to David and Abraham. The book of Mark doesn't have a genealogy. You know why? What does book Mark, well?
Servants don't have a
genealogy. Do you really care about a servant? The only thing you care about, hey, is he going to show up to work on time? You know what I mean? Or is, you know, that type of thing. You don't look at the genealogy. So what do you want to know about a servant?
Are they faithful?
Can he perform, right? You know, can he work? Can he get the job done? Can the Lord Jesus Christ do that as a servant? Faithful, isn't he? Does he drop the vase? Does he fall over spilt soup? You know, that type of thing. You know, that's what you want to know in Mark. In John, when he when you behold your God, does God have a genealogy? Isn't that the life message ever since you started understanding this? Dad, who created God? God's God. He is the I Am. You know, that's the way I go. When the perfect verse that I always go to when somebody asks me that, when Moses asked him, if they asked who they say that sent me, you say, I am sent you. Whoa. Think about that. I am. I am what? Everything.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, fill in the blank. So John says, in the beginning was the Word. Where do you ever read a verse like that? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heaven and earth. You begin in John with creation itself. See? Even in the very beginning of each of those four accounts, you have the correspondence that holds true throughout the record of the four books. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. David and Abraham are the issue. David is the king. 1:6 says, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon. That is the issue. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of the Herod the king. Behold, there come wise men from the east of Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? You see the issue in Matthew, where is the king? Right off the bat, where is he at? The reason Matthew does not give that nativity. Do you know, well, I mentioned before, who gives the nativity scene? I done gave that away to you. Luke does. Luke takes you to the birthplace of Lord Jesus Christ. It is Luke that gives you the detailed accounts of the conception of Christ and the womb of Mary. Now, who is Luke? Luke the doctor, Luke of the... They don't call him a doctor, they call him physician. He would tell you a detail what that woman's going through and how she's going through some pains and groans. See? The miracle takes place in the conception, by the way. It's not the birth. Everybody's born. It's that conception. That's why it's very, very important to know that as a Christian. To know that birth, life starts in the conception. Not afterwards, not after you get as old as I am, then you start to begin. People tell you, boy, you'll live after 50. You're laughing because you know you still got a long road to go, don't you? A long road to who? Luke gives the details of that account. It is Luke that tells us about his birth and how natural it was, although it humbles in circumstances. Matthew, on the other hand, tells the scriptures over some 2 years later. You ever notice that? You ever notice it don't go to the birth? It goes 2 years later. And sees a child in a house with his parents being sought after as a king who is destined to dwell in the house of Israel. So you have all kinds of interesting things here. I always was told... People put some nativity scenes out, right? And they got the wise man right there. According to Matthew, okay, they're not there for 2 years. So one of my old preacher friends said, you ought to have him behind the barn, the wise man, like, way out there. But what they do, they group it all together. And you, in your mind, you see them wise men there, and you predict, okay, they're there. They're not there. He's a young child. 2 years later. It took him 2 years to find that child. And guess what? He's not in Bethlehem. Where was Mary and Joseph living?
Egypt.
No, they wasn't living in Egypt. Jesus of? Thank you. They went to Bethlehem because they was ordered a decree so they take a census. They flee to Egypt because of the decree. The Herod said, kill everybody 2 years and younger. And then when they found, I guess Jesus 12 years old, and he's, you know, you see those movies like one of the soldiers, one of, you know, Jesus movies, and the soldier sees that child like, how old are you? And in that soldier's mind is clicking, you should be dead. You know, but he flee to Egypt for a reason. You know, Lord fleed into the world to hide. You know, Egypt is a part of the, detects part of the world. The book of Matthew is the only one of the four gospel accounts that talks about the kingdom in its terms, the kingdom of heaven. You'll never find that in the other four accounts, the other three accounts. You hear me? You will not find the kingdom of heaven anywhere else in any other gospel other than Matthew. Matthew gives you parables of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew is the one that gives you details of the great Sermon on the Mount. Now the king would get up on the mount, wouldn't he? Now Luke's got a, it's funny because Luke's got one we call the Sermon on the Plains. He's down here talking. Luke does. But it describes the lifestyle of the subjects of the kingdom, what it be like. Even in the commission of the book of Matthew, he goes up on a high mountain and he says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore, because I have all power. See, he's a king. You know, we saw these, I guess there's still kings in the world, and they still present themselves that way, don't they? You know, they're not holy, but what's the term I want to use? They're just elegant. They're masterfully, was that regal? You know, that type of thing. They're just there. The Lord Jesus Christ does not exercise all power at that moment, does he? Okay, some of that power had been delegated to the hands of the adversary. Who's that? Satan, isn't he the god of this world? The prince and power of the air? Yeah, I was talking on my cell phone the other day and it blanked out two or three times. And a guy called me back. I said, it's prince and power of the air. I said, you know who that is? He goes, yeah. I said, I blame everything on that prince and power of the air, especially kind of electricity. You know, they don't want you to talk, all that stuff. But, and the kingdoms of this world will not become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ until He comes back and reigns where? But now? Ages to come. The Kingdom Commission, we're getting ready to close. The Kingdom Commission is in Matthew as we see when we get over there. Okay? That's where that Kingdom Commission is. So it all works together. It all works together. Till next week.